9:30 on a Friday morning, and an opportunity for a second Community Connection program this morning, and I get the opportunity to talk things over with Patty Beavers from Family Crisis and Counseling Center. Good morning, Patty. Thank you so much for coming in this morning.
Thank you very much. I'm pleased to be here.
Oh, I'm happy to have you in here, and it is nearly Thanksgiving. By this time next week, we'll be carving up the turkey leftovers for turkey pot pies and turkey tetrazzini and turkey sandwiches.
Turkey.
Yeah, and then stick the rest of it in the freezer probably by Monday, and then have it pull it out later for mm-hmm. whatever. Anyway, it is the season that we're supposed to be, you know, happy and thankful and jolly and grateful for things that are going on, and sometimes that just causes all kind of emotional stress for people.
Absolutely. And that's something I kind of wanted to talk about today, because around the holidays, you know, there are many factors that contribute to domestic violence.
Mm-hmm.
And then the holidays, the stress, you know, can increase to the point then that can trigger domestic violence.
Okay.
Financial hardships. In the area's economy mm-hmm. Can also play a role in the instances of domestic violence. You know, with the economy dipping, you know, due to the lower oil prices, there are more families with financial hardships mm-hmm. this time
yeah.
than maybe last year. With less money, you know, less, you know, hours, you know, people cut back their hours mm-hmm. and so forth, layoffs during the Christmas season. You know, there's more stress at home, and this, you know, does or can lead to more instances of domestic violence.
Yeah, absolutely.
But one of the situations that we've, or pattern that I've noticed is a lot of times women will bite their tongue, walk on the eggshells in order to give her children an idealized Thanksgiving or Christmas,
mm-hmm.
Even though their family's far from being ideal, but that is, you know, they crave that to just, you know, have a normal family holiday.
Yeah, and I think also some families really, particularly I'll say at Thanksgiving, have all the extended family over, or you know, go, like the song says, over the river and through the woods to grandmother's house for Thanksgiving, and the extended family doesn't always know what's going on inside those walls behind closed doors at somebody else's house.
Absolutely. That is a very... very common.
Yeah.
Because what the abuser does in their control is control them to the point that they instill fear of them having very much contact at all with family.
Mm-hmm.
Then they get jealous of the family when then everyone gets together.
Mm-hmm.
And so then if you have jealousy, because of the attachment, you know, your spouse has with her family, she's so glad to see them and so glad to be around loved ones, you know, that aren't physically abusive or emotionally abusive,
mm-hmm.
then that triggers, you know,
yeah.
or can trigger,
sure.
I should say can trigger, may trigger, because they feel threatened or powerless in the relationship. Yeah. And their behavior is that power and control where they can control them.
And I can see even the possibility of where that family might you know, try to spend something close to equal time with both sides of the family. And one person might get upset because we spent more time with one side of the family than the other side. You know, same,
sure,
all kinds of
yeah.
control sort of things.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Right. I guess, you know, one of the main things is, you know, in their own little home environment, they control everything.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of that home environment, I mean, it's nothing like you're going to hold up a sign and say, "Hey, Mom, I beat my wife," you know.
You think?
You know, so they that on both sides of the family, then
yeah.
there's that stress, added stress, then being on good behavior and not letting it get to you with that loss of powerlessness.
Well, sure, and you've brought this up in the past that frequently batterers' behavior is learned at home when they're a youngster, but still they don't want to be showing that behavior to Mom and Dad to say, "Hey, I grew up just like you," you know.
Absolutely. It's like look in the mirror, but that's not, no, absolutely not. That is a learned behavior. you know, what the children see today is what they're going to mimic in their life, you know, in the future. So same thing of whether the abuser is a male or a female, because they're both. That's how they grew up, you know, and so that's normal. So whichever side of the family that's the abuser side, then chances are great while you're at that Thanksgiving dinner, someone's going to get mad and have a little hissy fit, you know, because that's just all the extra stress, the financial stress, you know, just getting everything ready, all the extra company, and then knowing you have to be on your best behavior.
Yeah, and I can see all kinds of I'll say discussion, and I use the term loosely, in the car on the way home.
Oh, yeah. It's... But again, statistics show, national statistics show, you know, that the women, and it can be men, you know, they bite their tongue. They just want the kids to have some a normal, you know, normal holiday, although there's nothing normal about it. But to them, it's, you know, their idea of what normal is. Also around the holidays, there's, you know, more alcohol consumed, maybe more drugs taken. And that doesn't cause the abuse, but it can, you know, in allow that person to be more disinhibited, you know, where they're going to, you know, maybe not be able to control their temper or something like that.
Sure.
So that kind of goes with holidays too, because there's usually more alcohol, unless you drink every day yourself anyway. You know, you go to the parties and families and stuff like that.
I would think even if you drink frequently yourself, because you're going to parties where it's more readily available, more socially acceptable, that you know, if one is what you're normally going to have, then maybe you'd have three and four. So yeah.
Right. And then there's, you know, some couple of behaviors. That impulsive behavior is a risk factor in for domestic violence, and alcohol increases that. And then also the economic stress is a factor. Primarily, for male batterers, it's a particular type of stress that's really, really difficult, because men are under a lot of pressure to be the breadwinner of the family.
It increases.
We've
blurred those roles a lot recently, but yeah.
Right. Okay. So it increases a general sense of powerlessness then, when that's not the situation for them. Or they're at, you know, got the stress of extra family people there, and they're all giving their 2 cents worth and stuff like that. Then you've got unemployment is a huge risk factor. Of course, that's in any relationship. That's hard, you know, to go. But unemployment makes it, you know, more difficult.
But unemployment in June is one thing. Unemployment in November and December is something else entirely.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, low self-esteem is a risk factor. You know, if you're making over all your brothers and sisters and your aunts and uncles and parents and not making over that spouse, you know, then that's a trigger for them. So during these times, with all these additional factors, yes, the risk is great that it's going to increase. But again, what I've, you know, read the national statistics are, women have a tendency, though, to just lay low, try to ignore as much as they can, you know, keep the peace to the very best of their ability, because, you know, they want, you know, a normal holiday for their kids.
And so that's something that you, as an organization, as a nonprofit, deal with the symptoms, a lot of these things going on. So
Right. And one of the things is, like, often public will say, you know, why don't women leave the abusive relationships?
It's a natural question to ask. Yeah. If somebody's slapping you around,
right,
or
right.
verbally
Are you
slapping
kidding?
You around.
Right, yeah. Absolutely. But the answer can often be as simple as, where would they go? Domestic violence is the third leading cause of homelessness among families nationwide. You know, so if they have no income, you know, where do they go?
Or if they've been able to stash, and sometimes literally nickels and dimes away, to get a few dollars ahead for a GoFund, but then the other side finds their GoFund, you know, hidden in the cookie jar or wherever they stash it.
Right, yeah. Absolutely. Right. I mean, there's so many factors here. And that's one of the things that we encourage women or men to do is contact us. Let us make a safety plan. Maybe you're not ready to leave. You don't want to leave because of the holidays. But if you will contact us, and we can visit with you to see you know, like, let's say, you know, come January, you're saying, you know what, I'm out of there. You know, I'm all, you know, I did the best I could during the holidays for the kids, but I'm not starting out the new year with this type of behavior. If they will come in, you know, we can go over a safety plan. We can work with them and encourage them and give them resources then of how they can find employment or how they can find a place to go to that's not going to take money or how they can set back $40 to have gas to put in the vehicle to you know, get out of town. We can yeah. work with them in advance as well as, you know, when they walk in that day.
Well, and that would certainly help a lot of situations, I would think, that, you know, just they know that they can talk to you and can kind of let off a little bit of steam now and have that plan in place so that when they are ready to do whatever it is they need to do, mm-hmm. even if that show up on your doorstep again with a suitcase, mm-hmm. that they've got a plan.
Absolutely. And again, it's when they do leave and they go to a shelter, a normal shelter for homelessness, you know, that's their issue. They're homeless. The end.
Mm-hmm.
But for someone that's homeless due to domestic violence, that's a whole different story because the batterer is still going to look for them, may cause, you know, find them and cause problems. So we can also then work with them so that, you know, so that we have a safety, critical safety measures in place. And that's kind of the difference, you know, in the shelters. Sometimes, you know, ours may be full, you know, the other domestic violence shelters in the state may be full, you know, but if we can work with them and talk about the safety plans that they need to have, and then give them resources of other places that they mm-hmm. could go, they will know then kind of how to plan. You know, there's even the address confidentiality program that the state has that we can help them with. If they don't want the abuser to know where they are, they need the child support check, mm-hmm. but they don't want them to know. And that's something that we can do that they set up, and everything goes through Oklahoma City. All their mail's mailed to Oklahoma City. The Oklahoma Attorney General's office gets it and then forwards it to them at whatever location they are.
That would be something that I think a lot of people would need to know about. Excuse me. I don't know where that frog came from, but I'm going to get rid of it. But anyway, so if they've got that information, that's just one more part of their plan so that when they are ready to go in a week or two or a month or two, that they have already got things in place.
Absolutely. Right. And so my plea to the men and women that are out there in this situation is they give us a call at the office, 918-336-1188, Family Crisis and Counseling Services. And let us, you know, we can visit with them over the phone. And then if they want to come in, we can visit with them and hand them resources and stuff like that mm-hmm. and work with them so that they can start making a plan.
So that if they do need to go to mom's house, but mom lives out of state,
mm-hmm.
they can, you know, kind of have a plan in place on how all this is going to work.
Right.
And
different agencies have different funding, and there are agencies that have grants then that maybe we can help them get in touch with that would help with that funding. It's in the Johnstone mm-hmm. Sayer Building.
The former May Brothers Building.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
Upstairs. And, you know, even now when you walk by at night or you drive by at night, you see there are lights that hang down. And mm-hmm. so then it just really takes on a complete, you know, different ambiance when we're there because we've got, you know, Christmas stuff. We have a really great silent auction.
Okay.
You have beautiful trees. The city employees always put together a really cool tree that we raffle off. And in other years, it's had as much as $1,500 worth of gift certificates, mm-hmm. you know, for people. Then there are other Christmas trees, other, you know, wreaths, decorations, all kinds of things. And it's just really, really cool. It's a great benefit. The tickets are $45 a person, which includes heavy hors d'oeuvres and a cash bar. And then, of course, we've got our silent auction and raffle.
Okay, so this is something that people can buy tickets for now, I assume?
Absolutely. Call the office and we'll get their name on the list for the tickets. Again, it's $45 a person or $80 a couple.
And sounds like it's going to be a fun evening on December 6th, 6 to 9 o'clock, downtown Bartlesville. Do you need volunteers? You frequently do.
Yeah, yes, we do. yes, we do. in January, I'm going to start back working with volunteers. One of the volunteers I'd like to find right now, I'd like to have one or two more volunteers for our shelter. There are times that we need people to answer the phone. There may be other things the shelter might need some help with periodically. And all of this is periodic.
Sure.
You know, we have three meetings a month that I get someone, you know, to answer the phone. And then periodically there are other things that they, you know, might could help with.
Yeah.
That will be my next.
And of course, your volunteers, you're not asking them to deal with any of the confidentiality matters. This is usually at least administrative stuff. People to answer the phone when you've got the women choosing a change or the men choosing a change class, that sort of thing.
Yes and no.
Okay.
We have volunteers that if they're at their shelter, then there is confidentiality training as well as confidentiality forms signed.
Okay.
Because when you're at our shelter, there are people there that it's confidential.
Sure.
So that would be a hands-on one that would, you know, where they would be around, you know, women that are there in a confidential situation.
Okay. Sounds good. Well, this is a neat opportunity for people to get signed up to help. But again, also for the Christmas extravaganza benefit coming up on the 6th from 6 to 9 o'clock, downtown Bartlesville. And I know we covered this already, but I want to make sure that we get it out there. How do people get tickets for this one?
Okay, call 918-336-1188 and ask, you know, ask to purchase a ticket, and we'll get you on a list and get you you know, the tickets paid for and get you signed in and with your ticket to go that night. It's really great.
Yeah.
It's really cool. And it's a tremendous asset to, you know, our agency and funding for the shelter and all the things that we do. We need, you know, we need people to attend and enjoy themselves.
Well, absolutely. Come enjoy yourself, have a good time, but realize that you're there for a purpose.
Absolutely.
Patty, thank you so much for your time this morning. And again, if you find yourself in a situation throughout the holiday period, whatever it might be, somebody's there to answer the phone.
Absolutely. We're there, and that's what, you know, we're there, and that's what we want to do. We want to help you with your emotional safety as well as your physical safety.
Okay. Patty Beaver is in this morning from Family Crisis and Counseling Center. And again, if you'd like to get your tickets in for the Christmas extravaganza benefit, give them a call at Family Crisis and Counseling Center, 336-1188.
Absolutely.
All right. AM 1400, 93.3 FM, K1. That's our Community Connection this hour on K1, 47 degrees. There is that freeze warning in effect from midnight tonight through 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. Bruin Buzz on the way next on 1400 K1.
It's Friday morning at 9:45, and that means it's time for our weekly chat with Bartlesville Athletic Director Tim Bart. It's Bruin Buzz on K1, AM 1400 and FM 93.3. You can also listen on live and it's archived at bartlesvilleradio.com.